All right. Well, good morning, everybody. It is great to see you guys. I'm going to leave that there if you don't mind. I'm okay. Yeah, thanks. So welcome. We're glad that you're all here, and welcome to all the folks that are watching at home. We love you. We're glad you're here. And so what we're going to do today is kind of a fun day. And it's so funny, you guys, seeing you guys in the blanket and cozying up here. What we're going to do is we've got a special service, and we're going to have a testimony service. We've got some wonderful folks from Loving Hands. We have Keith, Daisy, and their ministry, the ministry up here in Palmetto. And we're going to have Phil come up and share and kind of lead the group in a testimony service. And so we support them as a church, individually and as a church body. And so we're just so thankful that they're here to share with us what God's doing in their life. And so after they do the testimony service, I'm going to have Phil, if you don't mind, call me back up. And then what I'm going to do is we're going to have a little time of communion. And so, and just a short message. And so we want to do that together. This is going to be something that you need to listen to. And so God has a little message for us. And don't worry about my communion messages. I know I usually teach for an hour in the scriptures. We're only going to talk a short time after then, so nobody panic. I specifically only have a few slides, so. And then I say that, yes, and then I start talking. But what we're going to do now is we're just going to pray over them, and then I just want to share, I just want them to share what God has done. And the neat thing about the Lord is that He doesn't conform us, He transforms us. And so if you, I don't know how to communicate this for the folks that are here, sitting here, for the folks that are listening at home. Listen, Jesus just doesn't want you to come just to church, although that's very nice, or youth group, or Bible studies, or have a prayer time, or even join a little Loving Hands ministry. What He wants is a transformed life from the inside out, so that you could give glory to Him, that He can take a wretch like me and transform their life, their thinking. You know we all think in a yucky worldly way without Jesus Christ, right? Am I right? Yet by the power of His word, by the power of His Holy Spirit, He transforms our thinking, He transforms our thoughts, our words and actions into something that's beautiful. The Bible calls it a sweet-smelling aroma. Like if you ever smell chocolate chip cookies coming right out of the oven. Do you know what I'm saying? That's a beautiful smell, right? In a sense, that's what God wants us to be to the people around us. And that can only help, that can only happen with an ongoing daily relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. So, Phil, would you mind coming up here? And then I'll, Pastor Gary, I don't know. Oh, here we go. Thank you. We can move some of this stuff out of your way, too. We'll give you the handheld mic. And then if you don't mind, I'm going to pray for you first.
Absolutely.
And pray for you guys, and then, yeah, sorry, we'll get some of this out of your way.
Just going to follow in here.
Yeah, no worries. That's okay. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. We want to hear what God's done. This is a wonderful thing. Yes, absolutely, you can move that. I want to take 1 minute, and I want to pray. And, you know, I'm going to say something directly to you guys. So forgive me, folks, the camera. They say never turn your back to the camera at the folks home. We love you very much and the folks here. But I feel like the Lord just had a little word for you. So you can take it or leave it. I'm simply going to present it. The Lord wants you to be a light, a city on a hill, right? Not hidden under a bushel, okay? Not doused, okay, by the world, not conformed, again, to the pattern of this world. It's easy to do, right? You guys can learn the lingo. You can learn the talk, right? The Christianese talk, the way. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen that, right? Maybe you've even been that. God doesn't want that for you. God wants you to lead and to lead by example. It doesn't matter what the person does to your left or your right. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. What it matters is you and your heart and your relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ. You live for Him. Amen? Okay, so sorry about that. That just came out of nowhere. So thank you, Lord. So let's just take a minute and let's pray. And so, Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus Christ that You would anoint tongues and minds, Lord. Forget whatever they thought they were going to say, I pray in Jesus' name that they would be open to what your Holy Spirit has to say in and through them, Lord God. So, Lord, if something needs to be rearranged in their thoughts and their thinking and the order of things, whatever it is, God, we just want you to speak through them, Lord God. We want you to speak to them. We ask a blessing right now, Lord, on Phil. Lord, ask him. Lord, we're just asking you in Jesus' name to speak through him, Lord God, and each person that you give a testimony to, Lord God. And we ask for a encouragement and strength for him, Lord God, that goes beyond human measure, Lord God, that he could look truly with all of our junk and all of our funk, Lord God, because of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, he can look squarely at us and say, oh my God, thank you. Look what the Lord has done. And so, Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We thank you for this time. We pray a blessing on each one of these men in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen, brother. Okay, you got it. Oh, there you go. All right.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Phil at Phil Critchfield. I'm a graduate and a full-time staff member here at Loving Hands Ministries. I battled addiction for over 20 years, and I can testify to that transforming, redemptive power of the Lord. You know, it wasn't until I came to Loving Hands and completely surrendered my life to God that things started to change. You know, and I was always that one percenter, and you know, I'd give God, you know, 99%, and you know, I'd fall, I'd come back, but I never wanted to give that whole 100%. And that was just enough to leave a foothold for the enemy to come in. And it took me a long time to figure out what true surrender really means. It's something so profoundly simple, yet simply profound. Loving Hands is a two-year discipleship residential program where the men come in, and they surrender 2 years of their life, which turns into a lifelong surrender to the Lord. And, it often makes me think of the scriptures, like, be careful when you think that you're standing firm, that you do not fall. And it's like we never arrive anywhere. It's always a lifestyle and a lifelong commitment to the Lord. And I can testify to that. You know, I was somebody that lived my entire life for myself, and here I am. I'm standing on the hill, shining my light for the Lord. Where, you know, and that has tremendous value to it. You know, going back into the world and working, you know, for myself doesn't hold much value. And it's a testimony. It's a testimony to my family members that the heart changes, you know, and then God gives you a new heart. Loving Hands Ministries was founded back in 1980 by Pastor Wendell Wilson. Pastor Wendell Wilson used to go into the jails and minister to the men, and he'd realized that the men kept coming back to jail. You know, they'd get released and they'd come back, and he knew that they needed something more. They needed discipleship. And that's where Loving Hands was founded over 36 years ago. And we don't have any government funding at the ministry. We don't have any grants. We run solely on the donations and the support of people just like you. And we've been surviving ever since. You know, and God's been, you know, he's been breaking the chains of addiction off men, just like myself, the guys behind me. And God truly has a hand on that ministry, and it's such an inspiration to see how many lives have been changed through Loving Hands. It's a very intense, structured program. The men don't watch TV, they don't read newspapers, they don't drink coffee, they don't use the internet. They're completely submerged into the things of the Lord, where that transformation truly happens. Where, you know, we have it's a safe environment where you can, you know, really go into those heart issues, because the addictions isn't the problem. The addiction is the symptom to the problem, and it's a heart issue. It's a relational issue that we lack in the Lord. So I hope you guys are blessed and encouraged by our testimonies this morning. I'm going to have my brother Eric share. He's our most senior resident. I came through part of the program with him, and he's a man of God. I'm privileged and honored to be able to serve the Lord with him. The guys behind me. So.
Good morning. My name is Eric. I'm from Miami, Florida. Been in the ministry for 22 months. Growing up, I was raised in a church from knee high. Knew all the Bible stories, knew all the songs, but I just didn't have a relationship with God. And when it was time for me to, you know, to start looking out for my own self, it drew me away from the church. which caused a real tension between me and God, and, you know, seeking things that I thought would satisfy my life and the style that I was living. But it just drew me to an area where I fell into this deep, dark hole where I lost trust for everybody, lost love for everybody, and didn't know what to do next. After being out on the streets for so long, I had to say, it's time, Lord. Like, what do you, what next? What do you want from me? And my mom texted me while I was out on the streets saying the guys was going to be at the church. And if you want, you could come shower up and we could go to church. So I took up on that opportunity, went to church, and by the time that was the decision for me to go, because in 2016 I decided to go, but everything fell downhill. But then 2018, God said, all right, it's time for me to clean you up. I need you right now. So I decided to come to the ministry, came to the ministry broken, hurt, no trust, no love. But like Phil said, we came through the ministry together. It was a lot of tension between me and him to the point where we just didn't want to do nothing with each other. But after a year being in this ministry, I said, enough is enough. It's time for you to take control of my life, God, and fix what was broken. And after so long, me and Phil started to work on things like that, and it just started step by step. Because I didn't know how to trust nobody, and I said, okay, God, give me somebody I could learn how to trust and love. And he chose Phil. After being through so much, a lot came through. Stoti is really working. God is using Keith Stoti to, you know, bring that love and that joy and that peace of God out of me that he sees that I don't see, because most of the time I'm blind to those kind of things. And the guys behind me, they continue to try to, you know, rub that issue, knowing that it's tough for me. But, yeah, 22 months, God still using me, still growing me, still giving me things to search out in his word to learn more about him. And, you know, I rededicated my life in 2018, November 11, to, you know, give everything that, you know, to him and have him take control of my life instead of me taking control of it. The scripture verse I want to leave you with is 1 John 3:1. See the great love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is because it didn't know Him. Thank you.
It's always such a blessing for me, and I'm sure a huge encouragement for the guys behind us to see, you know, somebody when they come in and so much oppression and weight in the world that's on them, and then see that freedom, and see them break free from that. And you know, I think I'm the only one that was here over a year ago, and I came in with a lot of weight and a lot of burden and just a lot of guilt, shame, and just a lot of destruction in my past, and to just be able to come up and testify and bring hope to people who need to hear, you know, that there is a hope is a blessing. I can, you know, it's just like, you know, the scripture says what the devil intended for evil, God uses for good, and, you know, and I'm able, and we're, and, you know, the guys here are able to do that, and it's a true honor and blessing. So next I'm going to have my brother Dustin share.
Good morning. My name is Dustin. I'm 36 years old, and I grew up in Bradenton, Florida. And everything looked like it was going to be a real good life because I had that surface-level relationship with the Lord. I started going to church at a young age on my own accord. Went to youth group, became part of the worship band, playing drums, and I joined the Boy Scouts, Eagle Scout, perfect attendance student, so I was like a really good kid. But my accountability was in the building, the church, and the people. And when I went to the military, I ended up setting my accountability still in other people because I didn't have that strong foundational relationship with the Lord. So I was easily influenced, and it was an easy spot for the devil to get a hold of me and take me down really fast. Excuse me. I ended up starting to drink and party with these guys, and when I got medically discharged, I continued with that lifestyle. Now I'm hanging around people that wanted to party and drink, and then I started using drugs and intravenously, and I'm doing drugs that are killing people left and right. There's hardly anybody I know that's still alive, but the Lord spared me and took me out of that, even though I've overdosed multiple times, homeless on the street, eating out of dumpsters, panhandling, looking like a mess, in and out of jail constantly. But the Lord used all that to strengthen me. I was in jail one time for 14 months, and I saw Loving Hands Ministry come into the recovery pod, and that's how I got introduced to the ministry. And they would just sow into us on a weekly basis, and they would come in there rocking that place with the Holy Spirit. And I knew that that's what I needed, but I wasn't willing to put the footwork in to go and do it. So it took me one last time bumping my head very hard. And the Lord basically said, "You ready to go there yet, son?" So I ended up calling Loving Hands Ministry, came to the ministry, and I was fighting these charges, pretty serious charges. They didn't care about that. They still welcomed me to the ministry. They had my back the whole time I was fighting these charges, because they just wanted to see the Father's love just lavished on me. They wanted to see a foundation. They wanted to see the fire of the Holy Spirit just lit up inside of me. Well, the state decided to take me out of the program and put me back in jail for another year after I was in the program for 10 months. But that was kind of a good thing, because it made me stronger. It showed me where my faith was. I was able to walk with integrity through the jail and hold Bible study, see salvations, baptisms in the Holy Spirit, just amazing things, because the enemy thought that he could get me when I was in there, but he couldn't. I was stomping all over his head in there. And now I'm back in the ministry, been back in the ministry for over 10 and a half months now, so I got like 21 months in the whole program, and I just can't wait to see what the Lord has in store for me, because I know serving the Lord is exciting. Every day that I put my foot forward and do what he tells me to, it's never a boring day. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so I know it's going to continue to be that way, and I'm going to continue to see the miracles that he wants to work in my life as long as I let him do it and I surrender to his will. And my life verse is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, "But God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved me so much that even though I was dead because of my sins, he gave me life when he raised Christ from the dead, and that's only by God's grace that I'm saved." Thank you for letting me share.
That's amazing testimony. And I just like to say that, we're, Loving Hands is a place where where we can really work on hard issues, and we're providing an environment for that isn't exactly possible at an altar call. And I'm not to say that God can't radically change somebody's life at an altar call, but there's that those deep-rooted issues, and you'll hear in our testimonies that we come from all walks of life. We have very different backgrounds. From ministry, pastor. My dad was a pastor. Some of us didn't have fathers. Some of us did. Abusive families. And the addiction is real. And the devil's crafty. He's very crafty, and it's a slippery slope. And and if it wasn't for my program director, Keith Stolte, back there, I probably wouldn't be here today. It was through his testimony, his sacrifice, his diligence to follow the Lord that I was here. And I knew him. He was best friends with my brother growing up. And I knew how messed up his life was. I knew how much the devil had taken hold of his life and the youth that it stole from him, and very much like it had done for me. And to see his life just transformed in the Lord and the blessings that came, with that, it was just enough hope. Just by seeing him, and it's like I never hung out with Keith Stolte, and I didn't have much contact with him, but just his presence alone and that commitment was enough to give me hope, and I came here because I'm thankful for that. And most of the guys that come into the ministry, they come because they've heard of somebody's testimony, they've heard that hope that there is a chance. And I just want I want you guys to be encouraged, because we all know somebody who deals with addiction. We all know whether it's a family member or a friend or a friend of a friend, the addiction is real, and it's an issue. But we're providing a safe haven for that, an environment where we can, really just get people introduced to the Lord and where he has that redemptive power. Next, I'm going to have my brother Brandon share.
Good morning. My name is Brandon. I'm 34. I just turned 34 last month. From Memphis, Tennessee. I've been in the ministry for almost 18 months. Growing up, I had a come from a decent family. Taught right from wrong, manners, respect, and all that. But I think I was about 10. My parents got divorced, and I started. My family split up, and I just started seeking love and just trying to fit in with others. But I started seeking that in the wrong way. I started doing drugs, smoking weed, and drinking. And where I'm from, there's a lot of violence, a lot of gangs and drug dealing, and just a lot of bad things going on. And I chose to go that way at a very young age. And took me down a real dark path. Ended up getting arrested and a lot of trouble, just drugs and drinking my whole life, and just nothing but the wrong thing. And there was no love in that. There was no, really nobody that cared. But I had already let it consume my life with the drugs and money, and got into so much trouble up there in Tennessee. My mom had moved to Florida, and I had to go live with her just to get away from all the trouble. And shortly after I moved to Florida, I became addicted to prescription pain pills and heroin. And for the last 11 years before I came to the ministry, that was my life, was just trying to get my drugs every day just to escape the hurt that I had in my heart. And I thought that I would die doing those drugs, that I would just, that it would just take my life, but God had a different plan for me. I lived these last 10, 11 years just searching for something, searching for love, searching for peace, and I was going all about it the wrong way. I've overdosed 4 different times. I've just put myself in all kinds of bad situations for those drugs and that money. And right before I came to the ministry, I flipped a vehicle, a truck at 80 miles an hour, and I walked out of that. It was a really bad accident. I got thrown out of the vehicle. I hit a wall, hit an electric pole, all kinds of stuff. But I got one staple in my eyebrow. And I was intoxicated, so I had to go sit in jail. And that's where the Lord, I didn't realize it at the time, but the Lord spoke to me. And he said, basically, in my words, you need to tighten up. Like, all this stuff you've been through, I've been there. I've been protecting you. Even though you weren't looking for me, you weren't seeking me, I've been there. I've been protecting you because I had a different plan for you. And it was because of his grace that I'm still here today. And I heard about the ministry while I was sitting in jail. And I tried to get off the drugs on my own, detoxing at home, going to little rehabs and detoxes and stuff. And it never worked. And it got to where I didn't care if I woke up or not the next morning. I wasn't trying to kill myself, but I didn't care if I didn't wake up. I had lost all hope. But I knew I needed something different, so I came to Loving Hands. I didn't grow up going to church or reading the Bible. I knew the stories I had heard in school, of simple stories of the Bible, and that was all I knew. But I knew, people had told me Jesus was the only way and all this stuff. I just wasn't seeking him, so I had to try something, and I came to Loving Hands, and it's just completely transformed my life. And like Phil was talking about, that surrender, like me, 20 years of living in the world, drugs, and just doing whatever I wanted, it was hard to surrender at first, but it got a hold of me, and I just try to surrender every day, and it just a renewing of my mind and my thoughts and just totally transforming my life and building relationships with my family. In my addiction, I destroyed every relationship with every person I came into contact with, basically, because I was worried about myself. But it's just been so good. I'm just so glad that this ministry was presented to me as a way to find Jesus and find myself. And I'm going to leave you guys with a scripture verse. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths. Thank you.
God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and I would say that he's eager to bless those who diligently seek him. And we could stand up here all day and testify to the blessings that God is, the restoration in the families, and just the blessings in our own personal affairs, when it comes to even driver's licenses, tickets, fines, felonies, and And God just really moves, and it's such a blessing to see that. Next, I'm going to have my brother Tyler share.
That's the thing about those masks. The worst part is I got to smell my own breath, you know. Like that's like I mean, the Lord blessed me with some new teeth. I had like nail ends on the front of my mouth. Now I got some teeth in the name of Jesus, and He's great. I'm grateful. I'm grateful I had a bad breath. All right, so my brothers ain't. Okay, sorry. So my name's Tyler. I've been at the ministry for 21 months, and I'm 33 years old. And God's been faithful in my life, in my family's life. And ever since I was a young boy, before I was in elementary school, I began seeing evil spirits. And so the only thing that really seemed real to me was the enemy. I spent a life on drugs and alcohol my entire life since I was a young boy. A lot of my adult life, I was homeless on the streets. Towards the end of that, I was even prostituting myself. I'm 41. Through my addiction, I was blessed by God with two daughters, 11 and 12, Georgia and Stella. You know, I was no kind of father to them. I believed the lies that the enemy told me. I was presented to him, like I said, and I asked him to use me. And I believed the lies that he told me. I believed that my paradise would be hell. I believed that what he asked me to do and purposed me to do here on earth, that I'd be rewarded in hell. But Jesus Christ delivered me from that demon. Jesus Christ covered me with his faithfulness, with his righteous right hand, and I've been delivered of that demon, and he's no more. He's nothing. He's the past. And I proclaim in the future, because the future is eternal life in heaven. And the things that I do here, I'm awarded in heaven, not in hell. And I praise God for everything that he's done in my life, for presenting me with this opportunity to know him and to see his heart and to dwell with him, because I got the Holy Spirit dwelling in my heart now, and the enemy's been kicked out. And but like I said, God has completely restored my relationship with my daughters. They're in my life. They're running to me now. They're loving on me. You know, I don't got to fight for their love. I don't got to figure it out, because God's figuring it out, and he's making it all happen for me. Blessed to be here at Loving Hands. I didn't have nowhere to go. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was about to fulfill that purpose that I talked about by the enemy, and God showed up, and he said, go to Loving Hands. I had it anywhere in the world. He said, go to Loving Hands. And I came here, and I've been changed. I've been changed from the inside out, and Jesus Christ, my Savior. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and to the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He sent me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all those who mourn. Man, sorry, I'm all like angry right now. Yeah, everybody.
Next, I'm going to have my brother Kenneth come up and share. He's one of our newest residents.
Good morning. my name is Kenneth. I'm 26 years old, and growing up, it was always just me and my mom. I've never even seen my dad. So my mom, she had to work a lot. She left the house at 5:30 in the morning, didn't get home until 6:30, 7 o'clock. So I was left to do whatever I wanted to do. If I felt like going to school, I went, which wasn't very often. So by a very young age, doing what I wanted to do led me to be severely addicted to methamphetamines. And that continued on for 9 years of my life. And in the middle of that, I was about 16, and I found out that my mom was in stage 4 of renal failure. So she couldn't work anymore. We lost the place that we had to live. I wound up homeless. She was in a nursing home. So I bounced around with a few friends, but I wasn't really worried about doing what was right. I was worried about providing for my addiction. So I began to steal anything that I could find, hurting everybody that tried to help me and just to fuel my addiction. I started using intravenously, and that continued until I started getting arrested. Well, then when I started getting arrested, it was almost a blessing to be arrested, because I didn't have to worry about my addiction whenever I was in jail. So then at age 24, I get arrested, and I know I'm going to prison. And I read a book in county jail called The Ultimate Pardon, and it just led me to cry out to God and ask God to change me. I said, God, if you can change me, then I'll live the rest of my life for you, because I've tried to change, and I can't do it on my own. I can't do it by myself, and I need your help. So from there, I went on to prison, and I was coming up. It was coming up for me the time to get released, and I didn't have anywhere to go. And a man that I went to church with a few times, he was my youth pastor. I only went a few times. He messaged me out of nowhere. I haven't talked to him in years. He said, "Hey, I've been praying about you or for you. I know that you don't have anywhere to go, and I think you should check out Loving Hands." He said, "If that's something you'd be interested in," he said, "pray about it, and I'll get you in contact with Keith Stolte." So I'm sitting there, and then Keith Stolte sends me a letter and says, "Hey, I think you need to come to this program." Well, I got released from prison on June 1st, came straight to Loving Hands, and I've been there experiencing God ever since. I've been here for 2.5 months, and it's the best 2.5 months I've ever experienced. And I'm blessed to learn everything that I can about God, grow closer to Him, know Him as my real Father. And I'm standing here today. I've been 15 months clean of any drugs, no cigarettes, no anything. And that's not by me. That's glory to God, because by myself, I would have never been able to accomplish one day. And thank you, God. Well, my verse is James 1, 2 through 4. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you are going through various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, knowing that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." Thank you.
You guys catch that there? He said he would rather be in jail than on the streets. That, you know, addiction and drugs they're only fun for a season, and I'm sure that is the case for many people out there that, you know, that are hearing this testimony or you know, that are struggling with addictions, that it stopped being fun a long time ago, and they'd probably rather be in jail than have to be on the streets to try to battle that addiction, you know. But, you know, through the redemptive power of God, we're free of that, and we have that joy, we have that peace, waking up in the morning and going to bed at night, and it's such a good feeling, and, you know, to feel whole and have that, you know, that God-shaped hole that we've spent our entire lives really trying to fill. We get influenced by the world that, you know, you do what feels good, or, you know, it's prestige, it's, you know, position, it's money, it's cars, it's possession, and it's like none of those things satisfy. They satisfy for a moment, but the one thing that does satisfy it eternally is Jesus Christ. Next, I'm going to have my brother Paul share.
Thank you, buddy. My name's Paul. I'm 40 years old. I'm the oldest out of this bunch. I come from a broken home. I spent most of my life in institutions, prisons, and county jails. Dealt with all kinds of violence. Grew up around death at a young age. I moved to Florida. I was adopted by family members. Tried to come for a better life here. It was good for a while. Got to in and out of churches at a young age. And soon as I was an athlete. As soon as I got to an older age, I got affiliated with some bad friends, you know, peer pressure, this and that. Got into drugs and addictions, you name it, I've done it. There's nothing I ain't seen or done. It's, you know, it's thank God that I'm here today. You know, I've been through everything. I went to the county jail this last time, and I made a promise to my brother the night before he committed suicide that I was going to get my life together. And since then, I've been trying and working to get my life together. And before I'd get so far and I take 2-3 steps back. I go again, try again, do a year in the county like it wasn't nothing. I got involved with some other people where there was other things I had to do in life that sometimes you have to do. And for my sake and other people's sake. And I was sleeping in the woods in a tent the night before I called this organization. And I was like, either I'm going back to prison for the rest of my life or I'm gonna try something. And something kept hitting. Called the number that my sister gave me. Well, my youngest sister I have left, she was at her church, and this organization here came and heard the testimonies there, and they first thing they talked about was Phil's testimony, and that's all they kept pushing to me is what they were talking about, Phil, how he testified, how his life changed, and this and that. So that came to me when I was sitting there. And that very next morning, I called. I talked to Keith Stolte, and nothing but good words. You know, when I was out there, my family turned on me. I burned all the bridges I had, the people, because I didn't want to endanger them or I didn't want to endanger myself. So I just stayed to myself. Well, as soon as I thought I was doing it myself, the situation get better for a day, then it'd get worse. Well, today, you know, I was accepted into here with these guys, family, you know what I mean? None of them judge you. Everybody's got a different personality and a different person, you know, and we all grow differently. And, you know, when I came here, I had a little hard time at first with the discipline and stuff, trying to learn it and accept it and learn the things that I'm being taught instead of I'm 40 years old listening to somebody younger than me having a big head. I'm understanding now there's a reason behind what's being shown to me. And if it wasn't, you know, I don't know where I'd be. But right now, I'm learning verses, doing book reports. I'm almost three months ahead of my curriculum. At first when I came in, I kept asking these guys. I couldn't even think I could memorize a verse. Well, I kept praying and praying. These guys kept boosting me up, picking me up every day, and giving me the strength, you know. And you know, I'm here 3 months now, and I didn't even think I was going to make it the first month. You know, so I appreciate it. And if it weren't for your congregations like this, we wouldn't be able to grow, be able to do this and experience this. So we appreciate y'all allowing us to be here. And we appreciate you, Keith and Phil, for having good leaders push us and lead us in the right ways. My verse is Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength.
Awesome testimony. So it's such an encouragement, and just, you know, to see lives just surrendered and restored. Patrick here was he was transferred down here from Dade City, and he kind of reminds me of my time when I came through, because I was also in Dade City, and then I transferred down to Palmetto. In my first couple months at a testimony service, much like this one, afterwards, after the testimony, a lady came up and prayed over me, and she says, I pray that you never become comfortable. And I'm like, geez, like, that's a nice thing to pray for somebody. like, what does that even mean? But, you know, looking back, it's those times of discomfort and, you know, the valleys where we're stretched and we learn to rely on the Lord in a way that we never really would be able to on the outside. I often think of Loving Hands like a spiritual fast track. Like, we're in the super fast track, and it's tough. And, you know, I want to encourage and ask you guys to please pray for us. You know, because in the valleys, it's easy to want to take control of your situation because you feel like, you know, God's not there or God's not moving. But to, you know, just pray that we learn to wait on the Lord in all areas, you know, putting our trust in Him. And so,
like Phil said, I'm Patrick Steiner. I'm from Northport, Florida. I'm 27 years old, and I've been in the ministry for 8.5 months. I came from a rough family growing up. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom, because of the path that I was on, didn't have much to do with me. And the only person I went to church with as I was young is my grandmother. And that only happened for a season. By about 10 years old, I stopped going to church. And by about 12, I was drinking alcohol, smoking marijuana. And then it just went downhill from there. I started using cocaine about the age of 16, methamphetamines by about 19, and been in and out of jail 6-7 times. It's been a complete roller coaster of a life. And I didn't trust nobody. I didn't have no peace with anybody. I was I was selling drugs for a long time there, and I always felt like I had to keep my head turned over my shoulder because I didn't, like I said, I didn't trust nobody. You know, even if it's somebody I didn't even know, I didn't trust them. I didn't put my trust in anybody. But being here in a ministry now, I've seen a complete transformation in my life. My family wants something to do with me. My kids are back in my life. My my dad is reading the Bible, which I never thought was even possible. Yeah, he might have an occasional drink on holidays, and for the most part, I don't ever see him drink anymore. You know, it's amazing what God can do and the strength that God can do, the strength that he has. And since I've been here, I mean, I've learned to trust it. I've learned to put my soul at peace a little bit more now. I mean, I still struggle with it here and there, but, you know, I know when things start going downhill and I start getting in them crunches and I'm wanting just to buck against the system, I know God's peace is there. I know I need to trust in him. And I thank you guys for letting me share my scripture verse is John 14:6. Jesus is the way. It says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I thank you guys very much.
So Loving Hands has a 70 to 85% success rate for people who graduate the program, 70% of which go into full-time ministry. And that's a huge, huge number. If you do some research and you go look at, you know, the secular programs, they're up in the 15 and maybe like high 18-20% range of success. You know, they work on cleaning up the outside. They take you in there. You're a number to them, and they put you right back into the system where they, you know, and it's a ruthless cycle that, you know, people end up in. I went to a lot of programs growing up and, you know, in my early 20s, and I experienced a lot of that, invested in and just to be a number. But at Loving Hands, we're not a number. You know, I got my brothers here. We're a family environment where we truly love and care and show genuine godly love there. It's impactful. You know, it's encouraging. It's impactful, the relationship. To be able to celebrate holidays and Christmas, we have both campuses come together. We all get together in one big room. We have one big giant Christmas tree. We also sell Christmas trees every year. We have a couple lots that we open up, and that completely goes to, and funds, you know, help support and fund the ministry. So I encourage you guys to come out this year. But that family environment really just brings it home, and it's like we're created for relationship, and it's important. Just want to encourage that. I have my brother Anthony in the back. He's a graduate of Loving Hands Ministry. He's a follower of Jesus, a friend and a brother. And I'm proud to be able to call him my friend. And I would like to ask him to come up and just share a couple words of encouragement.
Testimonies, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
It's always nerve-wracking. Okay, well, first of all, today is my mom's birthday. So, happy birthday, Ma. I know, right? I was starting to tear up back there. I'm like, oh my gosh, getting emotional. And you guys did excellent. And, I know it's hard sometimes if you guys have never been up to do a testimony or something like that, but it's kind of easy to get up here and be like, yeah, the Lord is good, and he's done this, and he's done that. But when it comes to talking about what we've done, you know, and pulling up those issues, it's a whole nother, you know, it's a whole nother story, and it's difficult. So I think you guys did excellent. And like now, it's still difficult for me, you know, to do that. But, there was actually, I wasn't sure like what to share, so I feel like most of you guys here know me and everything, and Gary and Pastor Darren have pretty much seen me at my worst, and I feel like just trying to encourage you guys a little bit, and a scripture verse here that I found, it's in Psalm 71, this is King James here, this little Bible, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things.
O God, who is like unto thee? Thou hast shown me great and sore troubles. I can't read it. I can't read it. Maybe in a minute I'll be able to read it. Thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth.
Like some of you guys, like I'm in my 30s, so I'll be 38 soon. So it's been, I heard one guy was talking about, you know, 20 years, and it's, I don't know, it's been a long time. But it has been difficult. But God's always been there for me, and I just want to encourage you guys. You know, I know how long the program is. Some of you guys have been here a long time already. And I know right when I got towards the end, I started hitting some major obstacles, even with the pastor at the time there. And it got really hard, but just to kind of hold fast and hang in there and just trust the Lord, you know, and, you know, he'll pull you through it. So I think that's all I got. That's probably the hardest one I think I've ever done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was funny, too, because I'm like sitting back there and I was like, it's funny because everybody's always like, when they hear Love Me Hands or they see us up here, and they're like, oh, that's like a vacation. I think I would love to take 2 years of my life and just go. And I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about. These guys, I'll tell you, I mean, you're up in the morning. I remember doing calisthenics in Dade City, running around the property. Oh, my gosh. Then they start taking your food away when you get in trouble. I mean, it's tough. It's definitely, you got a place to stay, and that's cool, but it's very difficult. So, anyways, I'm proud of you guys. I think you're doing awesome. And, it made me emotional sitting back there. I was, like, hearing the stories and everything and then coming up here. So, yeah, well, I think that's about it. All right. Love you guys.
Love you, too. Yeah.
Super proud of Anthony and just and incredibly encouraged too by just his commitment to the Lord and you know it's important for us to see people succeed, you know, and I tell the guys, encourage them too, just by us being here and committing our lives to the Lord, is it just brings, you have no idea the amount of encouragement that brings to your loved ones, your family, and just to see Anthony out there doing good and living for the Lord is, you know, it blesses my heart. Yeah, I just want to encourage you guys to please just pray for us. You know, continually, you know, Monday mornings are hard. The calisthenics, 6:15 in the morning, like Anthony talked about, it's tough. And you know, it's easy to get in your feelings. But, you know, we just encourage you guys to, you know, please pray for us. Also, just want to, you know, offer up an opportunity to partner with us. You can, you know, in the back we have a sign-up sheet where you can be a life partner, promise partner. We also have some product back there that helps support the ministry. Again, we're not supported by the government. We don't have any government funding. We just run solely on the support of people like you and churches around the community. We thank you guys for that support because we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you guys. So, Pastor, I'd just like to have you come up and close us out. You guys.
You guys did a great job, honestly. Anything else you want to say? Are you okay? Okay, all right. Well, that was really a wonderful time, and we would just want to encourage you. You can look them up on the web also, but I'd encourage you to buy some of the products back there. It supports the ministry, or if you want to support them personally, we do support them as a church. We have for years, you know. Thank God you guys have been generous, all the folks watching at home and giving online and supporting us, that we can support other ministries. Next month, we're having Paul Cowley from Africa. He works in the slums of slums. He's going to come and he's going to share the work. I think it's next month. Is that right, Pastor Gary? Next month, Pastor Paul's coming. He's going to be sharing. We buy Bibles for all the people who are pastoring, for the millions of people that he's pastoring and discipling up in the slums of Kenya and such. And you guys are a part of that. And so, but if you want to partner with them personally, please do. You know, we're so grateful. Somebody just told me last night at about 10 o'clock, another church in town, and I'm hearing this a lot, unfortunately, they went under, and so and this happens a lot. So we're just so blessed and so thankful to be able to keep giving, and that's because of you guys and the Lord. And so we're just so grateful. We're going to have a time of communion, and we'll make it a short time, but it's an important time. And so let's take 1 minute and pray, because all these testimonies lead up to the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, again, a church does not save you. Pastor Darren does not save you. Home Fellowship doesn't save you. Your denomination doesn't save you. The Loving Hands doesn't save you. Wonderful Things, Keith, Wonderful Things, Phil, they don't save you. It's Jesus Christ alone who saves, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other. There's no other name given to men by which we must be saved, Acts 4:12. And so as we take this communion time, we're going to take a minute and pray, and then what we'll do is we'll hand out the elements, okay? I'll talk for just a couple minutes. We'll take them together, okay? And I'm going to do something a little different. Usually we have somebody play a communion song, and I'm going to show a short video. And then I'll close us out in prayer. And Lord, how do you want me to do this, please? Forgive me really quickly, please. The order. Okay, so let's just pray, and then we'll hand out the elements, and we'll go from there. Father, we just want to say thank you for each and every testimony that was given, because they're testimonies about you, about your power, about your word, about your love, Lord, about your mercy. Lord, that you've done in each one of our lives, of those who really know you, have given over their hearts and lives. I pray for all those who don't, Lord, that you would be just speaking to them and just saying, you know, you, not in a mean way, but you do not have what they have. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you would call them forth just like you did Lazarus out of that grave. They're dead men, dead women walking, and those watching at home, Lord, raise them to life in Jesus' name. Call them by name that they hear your call, Lord, and would commit their life. Even as we do this communion time, speak to them, Lord, to their hearts, Lord God, that it's with your body that was given, with your blood, Lord, with that personal relationship with you that transforms a life, Lord God. So we pray for your blessing in this communion time in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you guys would hand out the juice and the crackers representing the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't know where that little clicker is. Thank you, Chris. Oh, so great to have you back. You're amazing. There'll be a big bonus in your check. Doubling your pay. All right, so as they're handing out these elements, we just ask you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to take them. Thank you, brother. You're awesome. Boy, I miss you. Now, we're going to talk about three things the Lord gave me just really quickly. And again, I'm just going to make it a short thing. You guys, if you guys watched last week's service online or you were here, you know it was a doozy. And listen, if you did not see that, you missed something, I believe, very special. I believe that the Lord, he changed everything that was going to be said, and from the feedback that I got, it was of the Lord. So it's Psalm 139 at homefellowshipchurch.com. It's Psalm 139, verses 13 to 24. And I would encourage you, I would actually, I know this is kind of creepy, I will beg you to listen to that. Yeah. Go online and listen to that. Okay, it might start off slow a couple minutes, then it's going to take off. Please listen. You're going to hear God's heart for you, his thoughts towards you. One of the things we talked about, of many, was this. You know, when we're talking about the blood of Jesus, we're talking about the lifeblood in us. Okay, God so uniquely designed us, okay, that if you were to lay out just your veins and arteries and capillaries, right? We learned this, right? That transports this life-giving blood in only one adult, and you stretch it out end-to-end in one person, it would stretch 60,000 miles that God has designed just in you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, just to put that into perspective, the whole circumference of the entire planet is only 25,000 miles. And yet God has put that carries that life-giving blood in you. That's how specific, how intricate, how fearfully and wonderfully each one of us is made and designed by God, not an accident, designed by God. That should blow your mind, and that carries the life blood for us. Now, in the spirit, we have the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, and it's a conditional. He says, if we walk in the light, it starts off. It's not this, this is the end of it, but it starts off. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, it says this. I love it. The blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all sin. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're walking with him, we give over our hearts and lives, that we're giving it all to him. We get a supernatural, I don't know how to say it, blood infusion that enters our lives, that changes our thinking, that changes our action. It changes us from the inside out, like they were saying, not from the outside in. We've all done that. It doesn't work. That blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse us. And it doesn't save from some sin. Listen, this holds us back. The enemy says, you know, well, it'll cleanse you from all that sin except for, you know, that stuff that you did way back then or that stuff that you can't break the addiction. What does it say? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from how much sin?
All.
And does that mean past?
Yes.
Does that mean present?
Yes.
Does that mean future? Hallelujah, you are saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So as we take this cup together in just a minute, I want you to, yeah, amen, Jasper. I want you to remember, those of you here, and if you're at home, go get some juice. Go get a something, a cup of coffee, anything. But you're doing it, you're remembering the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. As we take this, as you drink it, what you're going to do is you're going to remember that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Now listen, if you're not saved, use this as an opportunity. Say, God, I want what they have. I want that. I want you in my life. Change me from the inside out. I'm surrendering it all to him. I know you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead, and I want to be a part of that family. I want to be a part of that victorious life instead of stumble around like I've done. You use this time. And then I think about the body of Jesus Christ, not just the blood of Jesus Christ. But I think about Jesus. It's him. It's that relationship. Listen, the body of Jesus Christ, as you take that cracker, represents his body. You know, by his stripes we're healed. And it says that he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths. And he does this because he wants me to bring honor to his name. That's why you're here. Remember that. The blood of Jesus Christ and the body of Jesus Christ. He's the one that renews you. He's the one that strengthens you. He's the one that guides you. He's the one that saves you. It's our Savior, Jesus Christ. No one else. No one else. And I want to leave you with this last thing. And I said I would make it short, and I am. Again, my teachings usually go for an hour, but I'm specifically making this one shorter. Listen, the last thing is, when we talk about communion, I spent a lot of time in Israel. And they have what's called in Israel kibbutzes, and that's just a fancy way of saying like a commune, okay? And if you don't know what that is, kind of a little bit like what you're doing, right? You guys are all living together, right? You share responsibility. That means you share work together. You do Bible studies together, right? Now, in a commune, you share life together and hurts together and even income, right, or whatever. God, when we're in communion to him, he doesn't just want you to take a juice and drink it down and take a cracker. He wants you to commune with him. That means relationship. You see this guy? He's relationship. He's among the wheat here. When Jesus told the parable about the wheat and tares, do you know they look the same in Israel? When they're growing, you can't tell the difference as they're growing up, a wheat and a tare. You can't tell until harvest time, because what happens is the wheat, even though they look about the same, gets heavy because it bears fruit. And that fruit of that causes it to bow down. And that's how you can tell the difference, because they're going to bear fruit and they're going to bow down. Listen, that relationship, you could come to church a million times and it means nothing. If you don't have that intimate communion with Jesus Christ, you are missing out on everything that Jesus has for you. And I don't want you to miss out. I want you to have that intimate relationship. Ask him for it. Tell him, ask him, please do whatever it takes in my life for that to happen here and at home. Okay, and what we're going to do, and God willing, this thing works. We didn't have time because I taught for an hour on those verses last week in Psalm 139, and I sped it up. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask George, and hopefully this video is going to work. It's a video I show every about 3 years, and it's called, I can't remember what it's called now, a father's love letter or something. Thank you, a father's love letter. Now listen, again, some of us have had poopy fathers, right? Okay? You guys know that, or absent fathers. You have a heavenly father who knew you in the womb, who fashioned you before you were formed, Joshua says, 1:5. Before you were formed, he knew you. Holy schmolies. And he has a message for us. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to ask if you, Anthony, you can shut off the lights back there, and Chris, you can shut off the lights here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask George to start that video. And then when you feel it appropriate, it's just going to be about 5 minutes long. When you feel it's appropriate, you just take the juice, and the blood of Jesus Christ, and you thank him. You thank him that it purifies you from all sin. And you take that little cracker and you say, thank you, Lord, for your body that was given for me. Thank you that you guide me and you renew me. You strengthen me. You save me, Lord. And remember that relationship. Even as God is speaking his word to us, it's only going to be 5 minutes. And that at the end, I'll close us in prayer. Does that make sense, everyone? Okay. George, in Jesus' name, let this video work, if you don't mind, and we will.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and he is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is his love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
For me, Chris, just for a second. Thank you. We got a lot to be thankful for in Jesus Christ. Come home, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Come take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he says, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. I want to encourage you guys too, just a little quick word for you before we close in prayer. You know, I just had the privilege, somebody who was spent many years as an addict, and I didn't get permission, so I'm not going to use his name, but many years living on the streets, addict, you know all that entails in detail, unfortunately, the worst of the worst. And you know, it was just my privilege. I just got to marry him to an awesome godly lady, you know, and God's redeemed his life and has now got him and going the right direction. So God makes all things new. And so I just want to give you that encouragement too, in Jesus Christ's name. He does great and marvelous things. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. And would you join me in praying for Keith, Phil, the ministry, Daisy, just that God would just bless them. Would you join me in that? Amen. Father, thank you for all the people that we see here today and all the people that we do not see yet, Lord. Lord, you know who they are. You know them by name. You've called them, Lord. Bless them and strengthen them and renew them and encourage them in ways that we don't even know how. Help them to have thick skins, Lord, but soft hearts, Lord, softened by the oil of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, I pray that during this rough time financially, Lord, it's rough for us, so I know it's rough for them. Lord, continue to provide for them, Lord, like you always do, Lord God. Continue to provide financially, spiritually, Lord God, mentally, emotionally, Lord, all those things, Lord God. Lord, provide for them in every way possible, Lord God, and help us to be a blessing to them continually, Lord, for many years to come, Lord, if that's your will. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this communion time. We thank you for them. We pray your blessing upon them, Lord God. Keep them pure and holy, not compromising, Lord, You know what I mean by that. Not compromising. But pure and holy vessels offered up to you so they can really be a sweet-smelling aroma, Lord, to those around them. We love you. We're so thankful for this body at Home Fellowship Church here and all the ones still at home. We ask for your blessing over all of them, Lord God. Make your face shine upon them, Lord God. Smile down blessings in a time where everybody's gripped by just fear and uncertainty. Lord, that their confidence, their hope, and their purpose will be found in you and you alone, Jesus. Bless them mightily. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ and all God's people said together. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus Christ's name.